Okay.
Senate Judiciary Committee, Wednesday, March 13th, 1991.
That's the repeal of the sunset clause on the... We'll take up second 372, which does have amendments. Parties are probably in agreement.
Second.
And then I'd like to move to Senate Bill 570 for a quick public hearing. Peter Harvey is here from Lake Oswego. And then we would go down the list through our work session bills.
In order.
In order.
Okay.
So 371, 376 comes later. Wait.
We had those wonderful notebooks last time. I thought we were into a new system here.
The notebooks, yes, the
great
new...
Great black notebook.
That notebook was... We're going to put all the civil penalty bills in the notebook.
That was
a, and they'd several volumes.
That's right. That was that batch of bills that went in as committee bills that we squeezed down to the 9 or something out of it.
Well, we made...
Then we'll send them all the ways and means.
Where they will languish.
Yeah. Because they affect budgets. These people are going to be collecting money.
All we need to do is send them to the House and they'll languish.
Yeah, yeah, it's about the same.
Okie doke. Okay, let us then move into, pretty well, come to order. And we'll move to work session on Senate Bill 505. Mr. Taylor.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. The 1987 Legislative Assembly limited the liability of those who manufacture, distribute, or sell electronic signaling devices used in locating wilderness travelers and mountain climbers to willful and wanton misconduct. It placed a sunset provision of July 1, 1991 in that provision. Senate Bill 505 would remove that sunset provision. Looking at the bill itself, there are no amendments proposed.
Okay. We have a note from Senator Hanby who...
That's correct.
...we were talking about at some point. The question came up with respect to should we require this of miners or should we... Not gold miners, but... miners in the Judiciary Committee sense. And the sponsor of the bill, apparently... The sponsors of the bill suggested that they would just soon have a clean bill and not have any other sort of mandates. In it. Mm-hmm. That's the word from Senator Hanson. Okay. Anyone interested in moving the bill?
I would certainly be interested in moving the bill.
Okay. Senator Shoemaker moved Senate Bill 505 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Let's see whether we have any votes. Further discussion? Senator Springer? Okay, call the roll, please.
Senator Shoemaker?
Aye.
Senator Springer?
Aye.
Vice Chair Hill?
Aye.
Chair Cohen?
Aye. Motion carried. Thank you very much. Okay, now we'll move to 372.
Could I carry that?
Yes, you may do that.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Strikes close to home.
Senate Bill 372 would allow a victim to obtain the same information a criminal defendant receives in a case where the victim is seeking a civil suit against a criminal defendant, a person who is also a criminal defendant in another matter. This bill was last before us on January 30th. And at that time, the bill was sent out to be narrowed. You have before you the -2 amendments dated 3/11/91, and this would substantially limit the original bill and basically bring it back to the draft that was originally introduced during the interim. So it only applied to basically motor vehicle accidents, collisions where the defendant is alleged to have been under the influence of alcohol or drugs. These amendments have been worked out by Charlie Williamson of OTLA and Dale Penn of the Marion County DA's office. And from what I understand, that the DAs are not objecting to the bill if it's amended. And also, there's a letter dated February 19th that should be in the file from the Oregon Criminal Defense Lawyers Association that they have no problems with the bill either.
We don't have a hand engrossed, do we, that we can look at to sort of see what this does?
No, we don't, but you might tell them what it does.
See.
Directly, Bill.
Sure. Let me go to the bill. On line 5, Senator, it would, starting on line 5, delete the sentence, allegations of criminal act that result in death or injury to another, and then it would insert automobile collision in which the defendant is alleged to have been under the influence of alcohol or drugs. So it limits it from it's currently quite broad to allegations of a criminal act that results in death or injury to another, and it would be limiting the gist. Places where automobile collision in which the defendant is alleged to be under the influence of alcohol or drugs. And then it goes down on line 8, 9, 12, and 14 to delete materials and insert reports. Let's go to line 8.
So the effect of that is, what kind of reports are we talking about? Police reports?
Correct.
Basically, they're just talking about the basic reports rather than all the materials in
okay.
the case file.
Okay.
It's a further limitation.
So the outcome of these amendments would, in fact, be we are only allowing that information to be transferred to, in the cases of automobile collisions,
mm-hmm.
basically DUI or drugs, and limiting the amount, the kinds of material that can be requested. Is anyone here wanted to come up to further talk to you? Come on up, Sean, please.
I didn't see no.
And Madam Chair, I don't have that letter from the
Well, I'm sort of looking for it, too. I don't see it right here either. That's what I was sort of out here looking for. We don't seem to have it.
Okay. Nice.
Okay, Charlie, you want to comment? 372-2, is that it?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm Charles Williamson with the Oregon Trial Lawyers Association. The amendments basically put the bill back to what the measure summary said to begin with. If you recall, the measure summary was narrower than the bill was drafted. The two quick points, nothing precludes the district attorneys from giving out these reports if they want to in the future. This bill is requiring it in these cases. In working out the amendments with Mr. Penn, he and I agreed that an automobile collision also includes a one-car collision or a pedestrian collision, and so I'd like to just have that in the record. I also have a letter from MAD, if I could distribute it. Oh, you have it from MAD?
Yeah, we do have the MAD letter. We just don't have the criminal defense lawyer's letter at this point.
I think I have that.
Some of us didn't have it exactly.
Thank you.
All right. So that's great. Thank you. Are there questions of Mr. Williamson? No.
Madam Chair, I move the -2 amendments.
Okay. Senator Hill has moved -2 amendments dated 3/11/91. Are there objections to those amendments? Hearing none, so ordered.
Madam Chair, I move Senate Bills 372 to the floor for due pass recommendation.
Senator Hill has moved 372 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Further discussion? Call the roll, please.
Senator Shoemaker?
Aye.
Senator Springer?
Aye.
Vice Chair Hill?
Aye.
Chair Cohen?
Aye. Motion carried. Thank you.
Where are our Republican colleagues? Are they?
They're probably still in caucus.
Oh.
Or they're eating. I don't know where they are. That's where the word came.
Caucus.
Yeah, they had a caucus. Thank you very much. Let's move to Senate Bill 570. This bill was scheduled last week, and we got bogged up. We have the city manager of Lake Oswego, Mr. Harvey, here to tell us a little bit about 570 and what the problems were associated with it, and why we have to pass this bill. Name for the record.
Madam Chair, I'm Peter Harvey, city manager of the city of Lake Oswego, and I believe your staff has distributed a copy of the testimony to you. Just briefly in history, last session, the legislature passed SB 1065, which established a assessment on various fines from courts, including municipal courts, which are then paid to the county for the operation, planning, maintaining county juvenile adult correction programs, facilities, and drug and alcohol programs. The bill provided that for a city that lies in more than one county, that the assessments will be prorated to each county in proportion to the percentage of population of the city in that county. In our case, Lake Oswego lies in three counties, Clackamas, Multnomah, and Washington. Our total population as of July 1, 1990 was 30,800. The proportion of population of Lake Oswego that is in Washington County is 6. As a result, the formula, and I have it in my testimony, the percentage of population in Washington County is 0.000198, et cetera. Based on the formula, in December of 1990, the assessment level was $878, which running out the percentage would indicate that the Washington County share was 17 cents. In January, it jumped up to 1,136, which jumped the Washington County share to 22 cents. I think the point is, I think it's somewhat de minimis to try to run those calculations out, and you know the cost of the stamp is going to cost more than the money. So as a result of that, we requested Senator Cohen introduce legislation to put a minimum on the formula. And Senate Bill 570 before you would place a $10 minimum on the distribution. I might indicate that in the past we have not been shorting anybody. We've been paying 100% of the assessments, but we've been divvying them up between Clackamas and Multnomah. We appreciate and enjoy our friends in Washington County, but felt it was not worth the effort to send such a small amount of money to them.
We've asked the counties to come forward to let us know what they're doing with that money, too, because I know that that's a source of some concern to the municipal judges and the people who are paying these fines, et cetera. So they have come before us at least once and are working in to get their final tallies, the counties association, to let us know what they're using, what the outcome of this money might be. Whole area of community corrections. Hey, any questions for Peter? I thought for a while I could just do this bill and pass it over without him coming down to testify, but it's a nice day today, so we're happy to see somebody.
Quick question here.
Senator Springer.
Do you have comparable figures from Multnomah County? You ballpark it here?
It's $40-$50 or more. We have roughly about 3-4% or more in of our population in Multnomah.
Okay.
It's worthwhile. I mean, it's not
my
de minimis.
Since those are my constituents, I'm always kind of...
Yeah.
Great. Thanks.
Great. Any other questions? Thanks very much.
Thank you.
Okay, well, we have this one up for possible work session, too, so if anybody doesn't have any objections to moving this bill out there,
no, I see it.
Can we?
Pardon?
Yeah, we
can. Yeah.
Well, then, Madam Chair, I'd move Senate Bill 570 to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Senator Hill has moved 570 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Are there discussion? Call the roll, please.
Senator Schumaker.
Aye.
Senator Springer.
Aye.
Vice Chair Hill.
Aye.
Chair Cohen.
Aye. Motion carried. Thank you. You want to carry?
No.
I've always wanted to carry it.
Let's let Springer carry it. He, on behalf of his $40 in Multnomah County, that he's soon to be, according to other people, he's going, where did Pete Harvey left?
There he is.
I just want him to go that Springer has coveting, other people are coveting Springer to move into the Lake Oswego District with this whole reapportionment kind of thing. So some people have grand plans to have Springer be moved into Lake Oswego, right?
It's somebody's grand plan. It's not my grand plan.
I was.
Okay, now we cut.
Such a thing is too much of a good thing.
Okay, let us move then to our. Okay, actually, let's move to Senate Bill 193. I'll take this a little bit. We have three people signed up in that, all of whom are in favor. This is a subsequent, comes to us subsequently from the Transportation Committee, so I'm trying to get those bills that come from other committees heard. Lieutenant Rader is here from the State Police in favor of it. Why don't you come on up? And Larry McCall, Shirley Benson, you can all come at the same time. Senate Bill 193 has to do with small mobile drivers who take alcohol with them, right?
Yes, ma'am.
For the record, your name?
Madam Chair and members of the committee, for the record, I am Lieutenant Glenn Rader of the Oregon State Police Patrol Division. Our purpose today is to speak in support of Senate Bill 193. The use of alcohol and the operation of motor vehicles has been and continues to be the major factor in highway injuries and deaths in Oregon and the nation. Many years ago, this body prohibited the drinking of an alcoholic beverage and the operation of motor vehicle on our public highways. The operation of all-terrain vehicles and snowmobiles on our public lands has been and continues to be a growing industry for sport and recreation for citizens. This bill was introduced to improve the traffic safety for all users of that recreation. It's our belief that the passage of this bill would be one tool in reducing accidents and incidences that involve intoxicating liquor. The All-Terrain Vehicle Committee and the State Snowmobile Association both support this bill. That concludes my testimony, and I'd be pleased to answer any questions.
Thank you. Any questions of Lieutenant Rader? Senator Springer.
Why did we, apparently this is limited to offenses or operation that occurs on public land as opposed to premises open to the public, which is kind of the language we track with our vehicle laws. Can you explain that?
Madam Chair and Senator Springer, these vehicles are not permitted to be operated on public highways or generally those areas as premises open to the public, which would be parking lots and such.
Right.
They operate on those areas primarily described in Chapter 821 of the Motor Vehicle Code and on public lands in Oregon, not just in areas such as the Dunes NRA and Sand Lake or the coast area, but also on all other public lands throughout the state.
Okay. Well, public land means federally, I would guess, state. But how about private lands? Is it going to be okay to operate with an open container on private lands?
Madam Chair and Senator Springer, if you are operating a vehicle on your own private property, this law would not apply.
Or on anybody else?
Madam Chair.
Senator
Schumaker, first. Well, just a comment. I mean, it also wouldn't operate if you're operating a vehicle on anybody else's private property.
Madam Chair and Senator Schumaker, you're correct.
Senator Bunn.
Madam Chair, it's not just that this bill wouldn't apply, but currently, if I choose to drink and drive my pickup in my field, I'm not violating the law, am I?
Madam Chair and Senator Bunn, you're correct.
Another question, I think that there's another bill that deals with a similar situation, but boating. Do you see any problem with including boating with this bill?
I know that Senator Dukes does sort of allow things to come. You know, we don't want to start the trip bells too much. It does kind of had this bill did come from the Transportation Committee, and frankly, if it was our bill originating from here, I would not have.
I'm sorry, Madam Chair, since I came in late, I didn't read which committee this was from, so I understand the problem with my question.
Right. Normal circumstances, everything's game, but in this one, we do set a limit. We are here, really, and I will ask Ingrid to explain why we have this bill to look at and why it seems, from her standpoint. Senator Hill has a question.
Yes. Do our DU driving under the influence laws cover these type of vehicles already?
Madam Chair and Senator Hill, yes, sir, it does.
Any other questions from Ingrid, we might want to have her comment on why at least I think we're reviewing this bill subsequent to the Transportation Committee consideration. And that is to look at the violations and to make sure that they sort of match with what's there, and Ingrid will comment on that.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, specifically it tracks very closely the open container violation for motor vehicles, which is 811-170 of the vehicle code. And in all respects in which it's similar to those, it uses identical language to that used there. It differs somewhat in terms of being able to maintain within a vehicle that is not accessible to the driver, an area that's not accessible to the driver, a container of alcohol. And presumably it's considered that there is no place on a snowmobile that wouldn't be accessible to the driver, and for that reason it differs. Otherwise it's virtually identical.
Madam Chair.
Yes, Senator.
Why is it that these are not motor vehicles as defined in the motor vehicle law?
I would, Madam Chair, defer to Senator Lieutenant Rader, but I believe they simply have been considered not to be vehicles that use the public highways.
That's the distinction. Okay.
Would you like to respond, please, for the record?
Madam Chair and Senator Shoemaker, these are Class 1 small three-wheel, four-wheel, all-terrain vehicles, some Class 2s, the larger dune buggy types. It also applies in Class 2s to pickup trucks and Jeeps, and then your Class 3s, which are two-wheel motorcycles, and also snowmobiles. And those Class 1, Class 3, and the snowmobiles, of the ATVs and the snowmobiles, are not in any way permitted on a public highway because they don't meet the requirements to be licensed.
Any other questions?
Yes, Madam Chair, I have
Senator Hale.
A quick question. What was just mentioned by counsel, the idea that you can't have, when it comes to an automobile, if you have it in a place where it cannot be reached and so forth, I guess I'm thinking of a situation where people are going hunting or whatever, and it's a long weekend trip or whatever, and if they're carrying some type of alcoholic beverage and they don't consume it all while they're out there and they're coming back, I mean, I guess what you do, you're either going to pour it out or they're going to drink it because they can't bring it back. Was that something that was thought about at all? Or,
Madam Chair and Senator Hill, as long as the container has not been opened at all, they're permitted to transport it on their vehicle. And once they get out there, and after it has perhaps been consumed after a few days or so, and they want to bring their garbage back, if it's in a garbage bag or something like that, the empty containers, so to speak, then there's no problem with it. But you're correct. They cannot transport a half-empty bottle of an alcoholic beverage.
Well, I guess the thing is, and I guess it's no reason not to vote for the bill, but if someone, for example, has a bottle of whiskey or have a bottle of whiskey, they go out, they don't get intoxicated, they don't drink most of it. I mean, say they drink a little bit of it, and so they're bringing it back, not intoxicated, not consumed a whole bunch, and yet they can still be cited. Is kind of an odd.
Depends on what you think they ought to be out there roaming around that way anyway.
Well, I mean, I think the issue is that if, you know, that's why I ask about if the intoxication laws come. I mean, the thing is that people, you don't want people obviously intoxicated, but it just seems as though it just seems to me that intoxication should be the issue and not whether there's some kind of an open container. That's why I think that distinction with the automobile, to me, makes somewhat of a difference. But anyway, I just bring that out. It seems as though when people are to say to someone that they should throw all of their alcoholic beverage away before they come back, or worse, what they might do is drink it and get drunk or something. It just seems like, I don't know, you may be encouraged. So anyway, thank you.
Madam Chair and Senator Hill.
Okay, let me get your name for the record. And
for the record, my name is Larry McCall, and from Oregon All Train Vehicle Association. I would like to respond to that because that was a question that came before a lot of our people. And after, of course, we would not do anything but support something that was in the light of safety and good common sense. But we did discuss this thoroughly, and I guess when you really got down to being real picky about this, some of the things that you're discussing could also happen in an automobile. There could be someone who was stopping alongside of the road and running around to his trunk and taking a drink of whiskey and going back to the driver's seat and driving on. And we feel that we have to trust the officer's discretion on this. And if somebody was stopped for something and if he didn't have alcohol in his breath, I'm sure that nobody's going to go through his pack sacks and so forth to see if he had an open container. However, I think the intent is to stop the drinking while operating. And of course, if the person was obviously intoxicated, I'm sure they would look for the open container. That's what we determined from it.
But they'd already be guilty of a violation if they're driving while intoxicated, as I understand it. But operating one of these vehicles while intoxicated is an offense.
Madam Chair and Senator Hill, you're correct. The problem that we've found in the last several years has been, particularly in the Dunes area the Sand Lake area and such, and I personally have been down there on a Memorial Day weekend, and you have three-wheel, four-wheel ATVs, you have all types of vehicles up there, thousands of them together, and everyone has a can of beer in their hand. And as the day and the night progresses, it becomes more and more of a problem. And this is one tool that we hope is going to eliminate some of the incidences that we have up there and the accidents that we have up there.
Thank you.
Senator Springer.
Well, I hate to flog this issue, but I'm thinking of the Coast Range and I'm thinking of other areas where you got a lot of private timberlands that the public basically treats as their own, particularly timber roads, where they're taking ATVs. Maybe our civilian witness can tell us about this as far as their use. That's why I'm leaning towards suggesting we include language or premises open to the public as areas where this kind of conduct or activity would be prohibited. Now, I don't know about snowmobiles. You don't get that much snow in the Coast Range, but where you do have those private lands and the public uses them a lot, which I think is true, adjacent to Saddle Mountain, I mean, you name it, Clatsop-Tillamook State Forest, or the civilian lands or private lands adjacent there, too.
Yeah, well, we'll keep that into consideration here, and you might want to sort of visit about that, see whether you've been over that. I I'd want to.
I would check with Senator Dukes, unless we're going to try to move this today.
No, it's not on for work.
See if she has any strong feelings about that.
I guess I'd say, Larry, do you have any other further comments? Do you want to comment in response to Senator Springer's query here? And again, we're not here to disrupt this bill to the point, but we're just interested in your comments if you have any.
Madam Chair, we would have no problem with that additional language.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you.
Thanks. Shirley is here, Shirley Benson, so if you'll give us your name for the record.
I'm Shirley Benson from the Oregon State Snowmobile Association. I'm sorry, I was out of the room. our association, which consists of 1,600 families in 26 clubs throughout the state of Oregon, at our annual convention in December, passed a resolution in favor of this bill. I would say the one concern we have, and I don't know that we can do anything about it, for insurance purposes, when one does get a ticket on a snowmobile, it does not indicate at all it was on a snowmobile. The instances I'm thinking of is we have a law where you must have your headlight on a snowmobile. And so if you get a ticket, say your headlight's not working and you get a ticket,